Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Do It With Drupal Seminar. The video archive is now available with over 40 hours of high-quality video from Drupal's top developers and thinkers. For more information and free full-length sample videos, go to doitwithdrupal.com.
I am Merlin of Chaos, and I work for Sony Music Entertainment. I'm the author of Views and Panels. Panels 3 is the next generation of Panels, which Panels 2 was a failure on Drupal 6 due to changes in the menu system and major, major cheats that Panels 2 was doing in Drupal 5. Panels 3 has dedicated overrides, rather, where Panels 2, if you wanted to override the node page, you would type in the URL for the node page, and it would go try to override it, and in Drupal 5, that actually worked. In Drupal 6, what we have to do is we have a special thing that says you want to override the node page or the node edit page or the taxonomy page, and then it just lets you attach stuff to it. It also has a much better mechanism for choosing which thing you get to see based on who you are or what you're looking at. One very, very common thing to do is to provide a completely different look, say, for a node based on the type or based on the language that the node is in or based on the language the user is using to better accessibility, better translatability, better many, many things.
And so Sony's been funding a lot of this because it's very crucial to their website. So what kind of sites are Sony building with this in terms of what's happening on the page structure from a Drupal perspective?
What we're doing is we're getting ready to launch artist sites in 40 languages all at once. So we need to be able to tailor the look of a page to a given audience based on the language or the country that they're in. We need to tailor the content that they're being presented based on the language, because blog posts, while we may present them in their original language or not, we still need to tailor news and blog posts and whatever other stuff based on where it's from and who it's from. Like, there are rules for Canada, for example. Even though it's the same language, we need to give them Canadian content or Canadian-specific content. When we're listing tour dates and stuff, we want to list for where the user is rather than globally, because we can do that.
And so in Views 2, you can now have attachment displays where you're sort of attaching additional sections of a view on one single view. So why would you need panels rather than just using views for everything?
You can do a lot of things with views, and in effect, it's really kind of a poor man's panels, because you can do sort of top-bottom attachments. But with panels, you can build the layout so that you have 8, 10, 12, 15 content areas. You can also add different panes, put them all in the same place, and say, I want this one to show up in French, and I want this one to show up if it's English, just based on the pane, or you can give a completely different display. If you have it in Arabic, you want to turn things around, and a lot of the left-to-right stuff works really nicely, but if your page isn't symmetrical anymore, that actually isn't necessarily the right way to do it. We can completely tailor it to be exactly what it's supposed to be.
And so what do you find is sort of one of the bigger mistakes that people do when they use panels, or what are some of the pain points that they have in setting it up? And do you see any sort of big patterns, and what do you sort of suggest for people when they're checking it out?
The big pain point right now is that there's a lot of different screens you have to get through, and possibly the biggest mistake people make is paying too much attention to a screen that doesn't make sense to them. If the screen doesn't make sense, you just click continue and go on to the next one and set up what you want, get to the content, and then go back, and as you play with it, you'll start to realize more and more what that other screen that didn't make sense will do.
And so when I was talking to Susie earlier, she had mentioned that you're sort of the individual out in San Jose. So what's your sort of day-to-day work like? Do you have a boss, or do you just sort of do whatever you need, or how does that sort of work?
I'm a director, and technically I report to Susie, but also technically we're peers, so I actually report sideways to Susie, which really just means she handles the management stuff. Otherwise, I'm a director of one. I direct myself, and I do the projects that the company needs, and also what the community needs. So panels and views, obviously very, very important to our sites, so that's been the directive for what I work on.
And so talk a little bit about you're also able to sort of participate in the community. What else are you involved with in the larger Drupal community? What are you sort of tracking and keeping an eye on?
Well, I'm a member of the Drupal Association, so I watch what Drupal Association does. I participate at least peripherally in the DrupalCon stuff and what the DA is doing. I kind of made design something I want to watch, so I'm really paying attention to what themers and designers and that kind of stuff we're trying to bring into the community, even though I may not necessarily participate directly. I've been trying to improve help in Drupal Core. I've been trying to get a lot of the things that I've written, the underlying tools, back to Drupal so that everyone can use it and build the more complicated stuff that I've been building, because Drupal didn't have the tools to do it, but now it can if we can get this stuff more available.
And so I've heard a little bit about this advanced help in Drupal 7, and you have the advanced help module. What's the future of help in Drupal?
Well, assuming that we get this patch in, the future of help is that we'll actually be able to provide two important features, which is, one, actual full pages of help text that come with the module, so that you don't have to go to Drupal.org to get help for Drupal or to get help for your module, but you'll have the handbooks right there available that will be tailored to the version of Drupal you have installed. The other feature is that we can provide context-sensitive links to help on forms that will tell you how to fill out that form without destroying the data you have on that form. They'll appear in a browser pop-up, so it'll open up in a different browser window, which will show you just what you need, and then you can dismiss it or close it or click through to other bits of help.
One thing that was really interesting at the Drupal usability testing was that when people would go to the taxonomy page, there was two full paragraphs of help text. And what they found was almost like this help text paralysis, where people were like, oh my gosh, that's way too much information. And so how do you sort of see going forward, like, not just throwing help text at situations is going to make Drupal more usable, but it sort of seems to be a higher thing where in some cases we need to step back and sort of re-architect it and make it just easier to use?
Totally agree. My philosophy there is that help text up front is a barrier, because we have what I call the wall of text. You get it in blogging and you get it in software. Walls of text, you can't walk through them. If you have to read too much, you get bored by the time you get to what you want to do. Instead, you give them what they want to do, and you give them links to say, what is this? And this is classic. We've been seeing this in operating systems, both Apple and Microsoft based, for a decade. Web pages need to do the same thing. It's, these are the things we have. We try to name them as well as possible. We try to flow as well as possible. And then we provide extra help for when you get lost. I'm lost. Where am I? Click. Okay, I read this. Go away. Get out of my face. And so that you have the help when you want it, as opposed to being in your face all the time.
And so, and also in Drupal 7, there's a whole new database layer. And so what's the sort of future of views in Drupal 7?
Oh, God, I don't actually know. There's a lot of debate in the community going on right now about whether we're going to put views in core, whether we have the time to put views in core, and whether or not we have the resources to put views in core, and how much of views goes into core. These debate questions haven't fully been answered, although I have my answers, and some of them are maybe a little bit different from some of the communities, and we have to reconcile these things before we can truly move forward. The core of views has to be updated for the new database system. We have to realize that while the UI is technically separate from views, it is more intertwined than it appears. We have to figure out how we're going to refactor much of Drupal 7 to utilize views, but we also want to consider what views can bring in terms of usability, because thanks to things like views bulk operations, we can build amazing administrative pages with views that you can tailor to your site, because when you get Drupal, we don't know what kind of content you're going to have. We can make suggestions, so we can give you a basic administration page. But the reality is, you need to be able to give your administrators the ability to administrate their content, and we can't tell you what that is. All we can do is make it easy for you to figure out what that is and set up the pages.
Great. And finally, what's next in the next year? What can we expect to see from the Merlin of Chaos?
Panels 3 should have a beta in April. The book should be out in November. I should sleep through December. I don't know that I can actually promise more than Panels 3 and a book in 1 year. I'm not sure I can get both of them in 1 year, let alone anything else.
Okay, great. Thanks, Earl.
Thank you.